All right, so there are really two different ideas on here. So instead of doing no title, I did two different titles. Yaakov in the Presence of Hashem, and Yaakov Works Again. It's a short piece of here, and Gavon will get there. So the first part here is Yesha Shem B'makom Hazeh. And the first thing the Safa Kabbalah is going to do in dealing with this is just tell us what the other Mefarshim have said, which is his classic move. Kavod Shechinaso Nirei B'makom Zeh Ela Ro'oyim Elav. The Shechina, the Kavod Shechinaso, appears in this place to those who are fit for such a revelation.
So does that mean it's always there and it's only those who are fit for revelation who see it, or does that mean that it only comes down there when...
That it only comes at certain times?
Yeah, like, I'm just curious.
No, that's a good question. It could be any number of different combinations of those, at least two variables. Yeah, and then look at the next word. Kimakom nifchar yesh legiloy shechina. So it's a chosen place. This place is unique. And giloy shechina sounds more like it's only at certain points, which is, I think, how we normally...
You think about it.
Yeah.
It could be
at,
like, multiple places at once.
Well, yeah, that too. But we don't think of the shechina as just always being... always revealed at all times. So later in the Torah itself, it says when we're describing Makom HaMikdash, it's this is the place that Hashem chose for His Shechina or His Shame to be dwelling. And Yaakov therefore is saying, if I had known it was such a holy place, I would never have slept here. Tach kasfu hamafarshim. That's what all the other Mefarshim say. The Kavartan HaRosh, I'll say. This, the Rosh here, I don't think this is the Rosh in the sense of Rabbeinu Asher. It doesn't say who it is. Okay. The Rosh, whoever exactly that is, argues on this approach. How could Yaakov have regretted resting on this ground? The pasuk itself,
specifically from sleeping there or just from being there?
Well, he's going to quote the pasuk. It's a little ambiguous. Va'nevuah amra, the pasuk itself, the nevuah that he's receiving at this point, states, ha'aretz asher ata shochei b'aleha. And then we say, l'cha et nena. The ground that you are resting upon is going to be yours. I'm giving it to you. Which there, it's he's not getting Eretz Yisrael and he's not receiving this nevuah purely because he's sleeping on his land. At the same time, it's not at all rebuking him for sleeping on the land. It's saying this land, which, you know, at when you went to sleep, you maybe didn't think it was significant at all, and it's just some cold dirt. And now there's extra significance being granted to it. It's not just stone land. Right, but I think it's not quite as one-sided as it's being presented. It's a little ambiguous. Oh, boy. Yeah, right. Milvadze muchach mesudor milos. Mm-hmm. He says, beyond that argument, that it's clear from the Nevuah that it's at the very least not rebuking him, even though it's not clear that it's coming to praise it, just the order of the words itself. It's clear that it's not talking about the place. The emphasis is not on the place, but on something else. If the focus of this statement were really on the place versus Hashem, then it should have put Makom before Shem Hashem. Right, as he says right there. The Makom. Right, well, it sounds awkward, but he...
What did he say? He said...
Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh.
Right, oh.
Az mora al makom zulas makom. And then he would say, b'makom hazeh, to exclude over here. Ki ikar kvanasa omer noda al yadei sidur hatevos b'mamro. The... your intent when you say something is communicated, at least in part, he's putting a lot of emphasis on it, but at least in part, by the order in which you say things.
This is what the Rosh is doing, right?
No, this is the Ksava Kabbalah now. The Rosh, his point was that it's clear that the Nevuah is not rebuking him on the Shechiva. And now he's saying, Milvadzeh, and not only that, but also just the order of the words tells us there, and then he gives us two examples. Tafsum chaim chaim tafsum ukum muvor ba'achre mos be'vikisaho ba'afar. There, the emphasis is on the kisoy. This is kisoy adam, that you're covering it with dirt. The emphasis is not on the dirt. So if it had said ba'afar kisaho, the emphasis would be on dirt. Thank you. Medehiktim yesh Hashem muvor shezehu ikar amechuvan mimenu. Right, so now the real emphasis is that he's experiencing Hashem in some way. And now that's what he's going to go in further detail. And l'chen yirli, af shahayisa metiyus Hashem, this is in the second paragraph, metiyus Hashem noda ala b'kabbalah ma'avosav, he had a Masorah, people, we would at the very least assume this, and it's, especially once you get into the world of Midrash, where he was just sitting in yeshiva, it sounds like, then fine, he had a tradition, a family tradition, that there was a God. Gam bli safek hayalo b'inyan nisgav ze yedius muskalios. And as a result, there's no doubt that he had spiritual knowledge. Muskalio means it's like a more philosophical term for
intellectual,
right? For
understanding of understanding,
right? Probably had this pop up in classes before.
I'm taking a Sorno class with Michelle.
Oh, so he's going to use that kind of language.
We're doing like Rambam, comparative with the Rambam. So like,
right. Yeah, yeah, and that's where you really like more Nevuchim and what have you.
So that's what we're doing.
Right. Bechalzos kashizacha pam rishona lemare nevuazos shnis galsa shchina velomar labani Hashem shnis amsa lo mitzius haemiti b'mare. She believes safek maila yisera libi tachlis al kabbalas of yedias al kudemas bezei. Something fundamentally is changing here in terms of his knowledge, his experiences. Well, I shouldn't say experience because that's what's changing. But before, it was just intellectual knowledge, essentially. Either he's learning from his parents or he's, you know, he didn't have a Mor Nevuchim, but he's sitting down with his version of Mor Nevuchim, of sorts. And so while that's significant, it's not the same as having an actual personal experience of feeling close to Hashem. Hine Moro.
Yeah. This place isn't important at all. Is that your statement that he's pulling out posted?
Yeah, he loves to do that.
So the place isn't important at all in this opinion.
That's what it sounds like in this piece.
Like he's just had.
Does he like stickies? He likes to use stickies.
For now, I think. Thank you. I was struggling with this because right now he seems to be pushing us very far away from place. At the same time, you can't completely do that because why did the pasuk say "b'makom hazeh"? There's something also unique, and God willing, we'll see in a moment in this in number two that he hedges that back a tiny bit. Fine. Hine merov chibei yaseir and shenodas lo inyan nichbadzeh hisiach da'ato mekol ha'avtachos agdolas shuhuftach aleihem ba. And because of just the extraordinary nature of the experience he was having, he totally forgot anything he'd been taught about we're going to get this land, even though he's lying down on it. Uvisimcha gadol, he's pala v'lomer achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. As if to say, you didn't know that yesh Hashem? It's, of course he knew, but he had never really, really felt it, really known it in an experiential sense. Yirtze, that it means to say, Nis'ames eitzeli ha'asaga nifla, mitzius Hashem b'makom zeh. Still, putting in makom. For the sake of time. Oh, we're doing okay on time. I said, you're doing a good job. Keep learning. Make sure this is correct. All right, so let's see a little bit of his. He connects it to some other sources to back it up, and then we'll go on to the next piece. V'achar shemitnaya nevuah she'en achal rakal chacham gado b'chachma kashi nichnas lapardes v'nimshach b'osan ha'inyanim gedolim arachokim tia lo dea nechona la'avina la'asig. And this all makes sense, that he had sat in Yeshiva's Shem Behaver and had a Mesorah from his forefathers, because nevuah, as told by the Rambam in both Mishneh Torah and Shemona Parakim, states that you have to have a high level of chokhmah to even get to the level of nevuah. And so now Yaakov is kind of bridging that gap between the two, or he's stepping up to the next level. Bein safek shenis'ala Yaakov avino el ha'sagos ha'nichbaros ha'ele be'beis aviv u'beis midrash Hashem ve'eber. Ad shemitzida lo ha'isa lo mechitza amibdelas osa mina nevuah. And to the point where there was nothing separating him from nevuah. So what exactly stopped him from getting there? Because those mederech holchei tamim lakti malasam lechen nidme be'enav shechaserim lo od medeos siflios. So he thought, he's being very humble, and I'm not quite there, even though he really was there, and that's why he's surprised at this point, because he was being humble. He quotes.
What's that last name?
Oh, that's his Yiddish translation. He does when he offers a different explanation than others have. He'll translate it into Yiddish, which in the past I've tried, Googling it or finding some Yiddish dictionary, because I don't know anywhere near enough Yiddish to. And it's always, there's different spellings, different dialects, so I can never decipher it at all.
You have to find like some Zaidi who speaks Yiddish.
Right,
to
find
your
somebody. Yeah. Until that point, we'll just leave it.
My Zaidi's number works well enough to help us. we could try.
That, or we'll just have to go over to Brooklyn and find.
It was my Zaidi lives in my family. Speaks Yiddish. He definitely spoke Yiddish at a point in his life.
Yeah. If you skip to line 19, in kind of the middle of the line, he says there's this long abbreviation that's Mechilta de Rebbe Yishmael. It's not Rebbe Yishmael, de Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. The Mechilta that we often quote is Mechilta de Rebbe Yishmael. There's also a Mechilta de Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai, which is just fragments, very similar to Rebbe Yishmael's. What the Kesava Kabbalah means here by Mechilta de Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai is really the Zohar bookmark. Which says, "Vanochi lo yedati." What does that mean? Amar ki kohai is galili. So much was revealed to me. Velo iskalta liminada anochi, and yet I still didn't know. "Quote unquote anochi." Lemialas tachos gadfa deshchinta lemahave shalim, but devarim karovim lemashikasavne. And what the Zohar here is saying is very close to my explanation. I mean, he's bringing the Zohar as an additional proof. So I just put the Hebrew translation of that Aramaic on the left there. Vikat Yaakov Mishnaso Vyomer Achen Yesh Hashem B'makom Hazeh V'anochi Lo Yadati Timiyahu Shelo Yada. He's shocked that he didn't know. Ele Mazeh V'anochi Lo Yadati. What does it mean, rather? K'mo Shenamar Ufnei Hashem Lo Chilisi Amar Ki Echi Kolzeh Yis Galilee. So much was revealed to me. I knew I had such knowledge of Hashem. V'lo Yiskalati L'dason Anochi, and yet I had not accomplished, I had not really truly understood Shem Hashem Anochi, the real Anochi being understood as the Shechina. L'chanes tachas kanfei Shechina lios shalim. I mean, he's surprised at the fact that he thought he had achieved so much, and yet there's so much more to achieve beyond just that book of knowledge. Is that clock correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
More or less. It's like a minute.
Okay. Okay, cool. Fine. So, based on that piece alone, he's really almost ignored B'makom Hazeh, and it's put all on Yesh Hashem. And in the end there, he just explains a little bit about Yesh, but let's go on to source two. Excuse me. Is that right? Yeah, okay, sorry. I got confused with source 3. Two. Manora. Now, here, the pasuk itself is connecting, is focused on the place. Manora makom hazeh. Ein zeh ki im beis Elokim. Vzeh shar shemayim. Acher mitsha shemitzad an venuso. Haya katan be'inad lachzik atzmo eino roi l'nevua. Since he was so humble, he viewed himself as not fit for such a prophecy. So he therefore thought, it's not me at all. It's all about Kedusha Samakam. It's the place. And so he decides and says, Manor Hamakom Azay, Ratzono Lomar, Hamakom Azay, Mitzad Kedusha Asam, Mukhenes, Lofia Bo Or Hanavua, Af Mamisha Eno Roya Malaya, Kokach. This place is fit, just fundamentally or intrinsically, for such a nevuah, even for those who are not truly fit for it, for receiving such a nevuah. Thank you. Milas Nora Inyan Or Ner Umenora. K'muvor b'shalach b'nora tzihilos, which I put on there that, or he's going to explain. He explains over there, and I put it on here what that means. But here, it's interesting. Like, how do we get both of these to fit together? Because in the second piece, he's clearly describing Yaakov's perception, not necessarily the reality of Makom Hazeh. Makom Hazeh, is really a holy place fundamentally, Yaakov is focused on that because he's viewing himself as not being fit for such a nevuah. So then what happened in the first piece there is that describing what?
It's a progression. Like, he starts off thinking, like, whoa, I've never experienced something like this. I'm not really totally worthy of nevuah, so I didn't expect it. And then he says it must be the place.
That fits in perfectly with what he's saying about Seder Milos, that it's Yesh Hashem. And I had never experienced this. I've just been learning it out of books or from hearing the stories, etc. Oh, but it's not me. It's really Makom Hazeh. Yeah, that, I think that makes a lot of sense. It's an interesting depiction of the whole story too. So what does he just say very quickly here? And then we'll go on to the last piece. Nora Sehilos in the highlighted part. Ladati Milas Nora Mishoresh Or. Asher Memenu Hunach Ala Geshem Sha'or Echoes Bo Shem Ner. So we talk about, I think he's talking about light being reflected through water droplets in the air. Kind of, it's not necessarily a rainbow. He talks about that in a different place, but obviously. But Kli Yeshua Kavua Bo Yikra Menorah. And the vessel in which light or a flame is held. It's called menorah, a candle. V'hu yisbarach matur b'shem na'or. Na'or ata adir sh'raton al-mar sh'hu yisbarach na'adar mina or shel atzma. He's kind of praised or lofty above the light itself. Which is a little hard to understand what in the world he's trying to say, but...
It sounds similar to...
Right. I mean, he's clearly shifting it from our normal. We would normally just say it's kind of awesome. Yeah, awesome. And it's not that at all. It's.
But I think that really, I don't know that necessarily it would take away the awesome translation. I think it would just help you understand what the awesomeness really is behind the word Yorah.
Yeah. That's good. That makes sense.
I mean, it's more like he's giving you a root for the word. He's giving you an understanding of how you would frame it.
Right. He's giving you some more details about the semantics of it, he's not changing the complete. He's not rewriting the dictionary.
I never would have thought of that being the shoresh, but like it makes so much sense.
Right. Yeah.
And like, if you think about it, like, what is the awesomeness? Kind of lights everything up. Like, it's so great and like.
Right, and then also. Reflecting that back onto what we just saw in the previous pieces in terms of Yaakov's kind of almost bewilderment at the whole situation, saying, Ma Nora Makom Hazeh. Ma Nora Makom Hazeh. Okay. Right, but fundamentally, I think the way you said about the progression, it seems to be the presentation in the Kasaf of the Kabbalah. Fine. That's the first chunk. Now, looking at Yaakov working twice, which, again, he's going to quote just the standard view in Mefarshim, i.e. Rashi, where it says, Shevashanim Acheros. Acheros hei kish l'rashonos. The others were connected to the first ones. The second was connected to the first. Ma rishonos be'amuna afa achronos be'amuna afo pisha b'ramaos ba'olav. That he was just, he worked be'amuna with faith and kind of completeness, just as he did with the first ones, even though they came through trickery. Which is, since it's Rashi, it's just kind of how we view those pesukim typically, I think. Which I always thought was weird, because it turns this, it makes Yaakov seem almost robotic. He's just, we're just going to do this again then. 7 years,
And it doesn't say,
but at the end of the day, he loved her so much that he was willing to work the 7 years the same way he worked those original 7 years. I guess it's probably really, Rashi was,
This Rashi, you're saying? Yeah. It's still...
He's definitely angry.
It's not even like a linguistic thing that always bothered me. It was just psychological. How is that human?
It makes sense.
Fine. So that's Rashi's approach. But Rav B'Yafis Toar. Yafis Toar is one of the Mefarshim on Midrash Rabbah. I don't know if it's in all printings, but many of the classic ones it is. Tama, he's bewildered. Ki lashon acheros mashmuo so vaday acheros mirshonos. The very word acheros implies different. So if you're saying it's shanim acheros, then it's different from the previous set, which were the first ones. V'zeyar ahafuch ma'amra mirshonos be'amuna v'lo acheros. And this is, I didn't see this inside. I should look this up inside. I think there was another midrash that actually says, the Rishonos were b'emuna v'aloha achronos. K'dam rinan v'aysa l'isha acher. Acher hu neged ha-rishon l'gerusa. Zeh hotzi rasha mi'beiso v'zeh mechnisa. Fundamentally, when you say acher, he says l'isha acher, whenever that term comes up, it's the Gerusa, and it's lesser than the first one. Another example from Gemara Yuma, V'lavash begadim acherim pechusim mehem. The Kohen Gadol would put on other garments which were lesser than the previous garments. It's on Yom Kippur when he's switching garments left and right. Ladatia dvarm nechonim, and I think this is correct. U'melishna dekra yatzei l'riv asenu zikain. And Chazal, not only is he correct, but Chazal are just following the precedent from Mikra itself that the term acher, acheros, fundamentally means different, and not just different, but lesser than. Sheva emes lo avad Yaakov klal bavor Leah. Yaakov never worked for Leah. Ki sheva shanim rishonos lo hayo ki im bavor Rachel. Ka amru halo b'rachel avdicha. V'acher sheba alav lavan bir mirma haya muchrach lavod od pam sheva shanim. And so then Lavan tricks him, and then he has to work again. Kamru Alav Nitna Lecha Gam Es Zos Bavoda V'Gomer. You also work again, and you'll get her. V'Kevan Shachronos Hayu Gam Ken Bavor Rachu Kamar Rishonos Hayu Lo Likra Lomer Lashon Hayoter Mechuvan Lefi Amatos Ha'inyan V'Hu Yavod Imo Od Pam Shevashanim. And since we would have thought that the second set were really for Rachel, they should have just left out the word Acheros, basically, that he worked again. Because if they're both for Rachel, then they're both equal. Keep emes shei avodos hayu bevor Rachel levad. V'lama amro kra shanim Acheros? So why then does it say Acheros? Amnon ba'al ha'oros shahayu shanim achronos chashuvim be'enei Yaakov ki'ilu hayu Acheros. To say that these years were different. Oh, okay. That's interesting. The first time I read this, I understood it backwards. But okay, he's saying it's not that they were less. It's as if the first one's never happened. Kamisha Lohaya Oved Ma'olam Avor Rachel. It was completely, it was like a renewed experience. Okay, Chashav Es Ishana Marishonas Ki'ilu Haya Bavor Lea. And he viewed the first ones as being for Leah. Vata Oved Avor Rachel Sheva Shana Mecheres V'Shtehem
B'Amuna.
It's
a nicer interpretation.
It's meaning retroactive. So he almost goes back to Rashi's approach. Right, which is nice.
He sees that the 7 years are for Leah. Like
right.
Retroactively, meaning they were for Rachel at the time, but as soon as Leah became his wife, and he had to now work 7 more years for Rachel.
Right.
Suddenly, those 1st years belong to Leah.
Yeah. Which that you know logically that makes sense. That's basically what Lavan did to him.
Yeah.
It's not how Rashi seems to be assuming, but yeah. Okay. Interesting. I got to look at that again.
Thank you. Have a good time.